You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people, this is the Maggie Dawn Show.
We, as Republicans, as Democrats, as independents, as liberals and conservatives,
get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
If it was bad before today, I cannot believe how much worse it has gotten.
If we don't band together and protest, our democracy will be gone.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
And I'm freaked the frickin' frack out.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth, here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Happy Thursday. I hope it is just as wonderful weather where you are as it is here in southeastern Wisconsin. And such a pleasure to say that 2 days in a row, unseasonably warm and sunny. We've got a nice end of the week, but of course the weekend, not going to be all that great.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. It's Thursday. I've got my special guest co-host, Tom Paulswitz, in the co-host chair with me. He is a Navy vet, a small business owner, a reasonable guy, a good friend of the show and a good friend of each and every one of yours. We've got quite a show lined up for you today. Lots of Tom and I kicking things around, which is going to leave a lot of space for you all to call in and participate in this fine program. 855-752-4842. The topics of the day, we're going to start out with what Pope Francis's legacy is. And is he a progressive? Question mark. I'm not sure. We're going to discuss. We want to hear from all of you. We're also going to get to what I'm just going to call the Hegseth hellstorm that just keeps whipping up into other problems.
Who knew this would happen?
Right. Who knew that this completely unqualified, guy with likely a drinking problem and some credible allegations of harassment and sexual assault might not be the right person to head up our Department of Defense? Who knew? We're going to talk about Hegseth. We're also going to talk about some of the developments over the last couple of days relating to the falling apart, maybe fully defunct, Russia and Ukraine. I'm not even going to call them negotiations. Negotiating, you have to actually be talking about each party giving up something that they don't want to give up. That's negotiation. That's not what we've got here. So we're going to touch on all of that. If we have time, we are going to get to the controversy roiling, the Milwaukee County courts. Allegations against Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan that she hid a person that appeared in her court from ICE agents and is the subject of an FBI investigation. So Tom and I are going to try to get to all of that. We also have a special guest coming in. I like having guests like our first one today, Tom, because it's a super wonk. And you know I like me some wonk. His name is Pete Kinotek. He heads up an organization called Climate Safe Pensions. And the purpose of this organization is to try to convince the Wisconsin retirement system, which is the public employees pension system, to stop investing the billions and billions of dollars that they control in things, in investments and businesses that may be destroying our climate. So we're going to talk to Pete. He's going to be here at 5:20. We're going to round out the show this afternoon with a guy who just in the last couple of months has put out papers on both the care economy and what we're going to need to do to care for aging baby boomers, as well as, Donald Trump wants to give moms $5,000 a piece for having a baby. Who's going to care for all those babies as childcare collapses in this country? We're going to talk about the care economy, as well as put out a paper recently on tax policy. Now, tax policy at least I hope people are now thinking that sounds interesting because they've been listening to us. Tax policy is where it's at, folks. It's an expression of our value system as a country. And our taxes have gotten less progressive in the last 50 years. By that, I mean, we've shifted much of the financial funding burden of our government, of our defense systems, of our border security, of Social Security, whatever you want to lump into the government, from the wealthiest among us to working people. So we're going to talk about that, and we're going to specifically get to the Donald Trump tax terror called tariffs that seem to change every day and how that's impacting Wisconsinites. So all of that to come. Edie Dutta Gupta is going to join us at 5:30. Don't worry, I won't make you pronounce his name, everybody. I'll do that part. But that promises to be an excellent conversation. So, Tom, without further ado, let's get into it.
Yes.
I was raised in the Catholic Church and attended a little parish called St. Pius X on the near northwest side of Milwaukee, technically in Wauwatosa. And I grew up in St. Pius X Catholic Parish. That's where I did CCD.
Yes.
And for many years when I was growing up there, our pastor was a guy by the name of Father Luke MacArthur. He actually put a halfway house right next to the church.
Wow.
He actually said mass for members of the LGBTQIA community. There were often people in our church that got a little ticked off when he would give his homilies and leave mass. Like, that was the first time I ever saw anybody get so ticked off they left mass. So I grew up in a fairly progressive, inclusive church. Didn't really get that not all churches were like that, because as you're a little person, you think that your experience defines the universe. And I've had a very complicated, at times, I'd call it even painful relationship to my faith that I had growing up. A lapsed Catholic might be a word. I do attend mass, Easter, Christmas, when I'm home with my folks, Mother's Day, Feast of the Holy Family, those types of things.
Yep.
Tom, when you look at Pope Francis's legacy, what jumps out to you? I mean, a lot of discussion over the last few days that he tried to be this inclusive pope, that he eschewed the regal trappings of the papacy to be a more man of the people, often referred to as the people's pope. What's your take on this? And folks, we want to hear from you, Tom and I do. 855-752-4842. What do you think Pope Francis's legacy will be, Tom?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I grew up in the opposite type of Catholic church. It was also on the northwest side. It was the old St. Catherine's up in Brown Deer.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, went to CCD. I was an altar boy, you know. And the
Did they have altar girls?
This was before altar girls, mm-hmm. or I don't even know if they have altar girls now. But it was very staid and very conservative when it came to, here's what we teach. Here's what we do. And and to me, looking back on it, because I went to church every single Sunday till I was about 18 years old. And, you know, I've gone back and forth over the years. I'm currently not a practicing Catholic, but just understanding that coming from that background allows you to take a look at the Pope. Because I distinctly remember in 1977 when we had a Pope and then we had another Pope within like a month later. And it was so shocking to people. And it's like, no, Popes turn over. I mean, you know, yes. there's a reason for it. But when you think about Pope Francis, though, he walked this line, and it was the line between advocating for the poor, which I thought he just always championed, right?
He
constantly was talking about how across the world, we need to treat the poor with better respect and the underprivileged to be able to say, this is how we should be treating people, because this is the way Christ would want people to be treated. But then you add the hierarchy of the church. And to me, it's one of those things that the church itself is not religion. The church is the mechanics of religion. And he had a very hard time to trying to change the Vatican and trying to change the way the church goes about things. So it was very difficult for him to get involved in things that would make a big picture difference. So I think he just decided to advocate for the poor is the thing that he said. And I love the fact that at one point he just said, who am I to judge? Who am I to judge about people and their differences of whatever they're going to do in their life? That's up to God. That's not up to me.
So it's interesting, as I have been pondering this over the last few days, and I didn't want to entertain this topic right away on Monday because I wanted to take a breath, a moment to reflect and think a little bit about this. And as I was noodling his legacy and my very deep personal feelings about it, what started to become clear to me is that my feelings about Pope Francis often, I have been less generous than I have with some political leaders, but that the through line between my criticisms, especially of leaders that are close to my values and beliefs, so in broad strokes, more Democrats than conservatives, more Democrats than Republicans, but that the through line between them and my criticisms, when I do criticize Democrats, and I do regularly, is that those that stand to lead and accept the mantle of leadership must also agree to push forward system and institutional reform when the systems and institutions do not reflect the most fundamental values or vision of that person, of what you've said to the world your values are, or what you ran on, or what, in this case, Pope Francis said his values were. I expected vigorous, and I expect this of elected leaders as well, vigorous system reform and system reassessment.
Yes.
And I feel that more strongly about the Catholic Church, that the government of the Catholic Church, which is the church itself, the institution, is and has been for so very long in desperate need of system reform. And we have yet to, I mean, Vatican II happened. Yes, we don't listen to masses in Latin. Yes, St. Pius X parish in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, let me be an altar girl.
Yes.
But what I'm talking about is real fundamental system reform I haven't seen. And when I look at Pope Francis, what I saw was a lot of what I think is the necessary predicate to the system reform, articulating that we serve the poor, that we have to be always focused on the dignity of the world's most vulnerable people, a church of inclusion, of engagement, of meeting people where they are. Yes, 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 yes. A focus on the dignity of the migrant, right? All of those things. And yet, when it came to pushing for, and I don't even mean it's necessarily going to be successful, but the vigorous confrontation of the system that stands in the way of those values, I didn't see that from him.
Yeah, and I think here's the interesting point. I don't think we know yet.
This is true.
You know, to quote Hamilton, right, you don't have the votes. One of the things that I read over the last week was is that Pope Francis, he's named over 80% of the new, of the cardinals that are going to elect the new pope.
No kidding.
And I think we're going to find out if he's been able to make substantive change in order to see what happens next. So folks, that's what I'm looking for.
Folks, we got Tom Paulswitz in the guest co-host chair with me. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. What is your impression of Pope Francis's legacy? 855-752-4842. Remember, women, vets, conservatives, new callers. You go to the top of the caller line, 855-752-4842. Back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Well, Welcome back, everybody. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I come to you from WAUK, 540 AM across southeastern Wisconsin. But don't worry, if you're not in southeastern Wisconsin, you can catch me on any one of Civic Media's many affiliated talk radio stations. And of course, always crystal clear on the Civic Media app. You can get that wherever you find your apps. It is free. Go ahead and grab that puppy. That's what I use to listen to my amazing colleagues up and down our talk radio lineup, which has just changed this week. We got Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News from 6 to 9. We've got Jane Matt and Air on air from 9 to 11, along with Greg Bach. Tom Hartman's program, which I love, is now on from 11 to 2, from 2 to 4, my great colleague in broadcasting, Todd Alba. Kudos to you, Todd, up in Green Bay for the draft kicking off today. That's been a lot of fun to listen to. Of course, me from 4 to 6, and you always have Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8 p.m. every Monday through Friday. We got Tom Paulswitz with me in the guest host chair. We're talking about Pope Francis's legacy. Was he a progressive? Was it lip service? Should he have done more? Thank you for sharing that bit of, I'm going to call it almost data trivia, that Pope Francis appointed 80% of the popes who are now going to join in the conclave to pick the next pope. We'll see who that is. Another interesting point, I mean, if you sort of Pope Francis's top hits, right?
Right.
Hated the increasing enormity of wealth inequality in the world. Advocated for the world's poor, advocated for immigrants and migrants, advocated for the environment relentlessly, eschewed all these, you know, the regal trappings of the papacy. All of these are good things. He was known as the people's pope. He also, frankly, waded into politics, American politics in particular, in a way that I think surprised many, including the U.S. Conference of Bishops at times. Just so that everybody recollects, in 2016, Francis called then-candidate Donald Trump not Christian because of his desire to build a border wall. 9 years later, he called Trump's second administration's deportation policy, yeah, the one that we keep talking about on this show, he called that a disgrace. Most recently, Francis took the unprecedented step of writing a letter to Vice President J.D. Vance, a Catholic, for stirring, quote, narratives that discriminate against and cause unnecessary suffering to our migrant and refugee brothers and sisters. He condemned that. He also blew J.D. Vance off on Holy Saturday. He did actually end up seeing him on Holy Sunday. So very interesting. We got one caller on the line I want to hear from. Tom from L.A. Say hello to Tom P. here in Wisconsin. What are your thoughts on the Pope's legacy?
Hey, Tom. Hey, Maggie. Well, here's the thing. I learned actually in the first grade from my very good friend at the time, Sister Rita May, that being a Christian means walking in the footsteps of Christ, acting as Christ would have acted. And I think that this Pope did exactly that. As the leader of the church, he did what you would want a leader to do, which was act like Christ. There's a bunch of people out there that seem to talk from the pulpit a lot more about being a Christian, but their actions do not show them to be a Christian at all, or a person that would walk in the footsteps of Christ. I haven't figured out if there's a difference between Christian versus following the role model of Jesus Christ, but all of these people that are billionaires, all of these people that are doing what they're doing to immigrants, all of these people that are doing what they're doing just to fellow humans, that is not Christian. That is not Christian what they are doing. And that's not, I always say, what would Christ do? You know, I grew up and I went to Catholic school. I went to St. Norbert in college. And, you know, the bottom line was, you know, this is, you have to look who the figure Jesus really was and follow him.
Yes. Tom from LA. Always great to hear from you, my friend. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
One of the things that strikes me is that some of the most intolerant people I know are the most religiously fervent.
Yes.
And that's always, there's an element of religions writ large that they all lay claim to the one truth, like capital O, capital T. Even as a kid growing up, I deeply struggled with what Tom just kind of described. And that was this: God as loving and forgiving, and his son demonstrating, if you're a Christian, this, the washing the feet of the quote least among us, commiserating with the tax collectors and the prostitutes, right? That God would then condemn another person to an eternity in hell because they didn't read the right version of the Bible or called God Allah. If right. someone led a life that respected the dignity of others, showed love to others, right? Were selfless, served others. That one was always hard for me because it seemed to be this inherent contradiction within the faith, and I couldn't make that one work. And I feel a little bit that way about Pope Francis, right? The literal embodiment, according to Catholic theology, of God on earth.
Right. Yeah.
This idea of acceptance, and yet, no to married priests, no to women in the priesthood.
Right. Hard to change the hierarchy, though.
Yeah. Right?
But I think he did a great job of calling out anti-Christian bias. And I you know, because he kept advocating for people.
Yes.
Over and over again.
What I will always love and respect most about this Pope is that he pushed us to ask deeper questions about our faith. Yeah. And it is through questioning that our faith grows and deepens, if that's your bag. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Pete Hegseth and the chaos that he's wrought in the Department of Defense. Keep it locked.
Who knew?
Who knew? Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to this Thursday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got my guest co-host with me today, Tom Paulswitz, in our new drive time schedule starting next week. Tom's going to be with me on Mondays, everybody.
I'm really
looking forward to that, Tom, because you and I can help like process what has occurred because, you know, politicians, right. they like to cram all the bad news in between right. Friday at about 4 o'clock, 4 or 5 yes. o'clock, and right. Monday at about 8. So we can process all the weekend's news, regain our focus for the coming week. So, folks, you're going to just a day's break without Tom, and then Tom will be back with me on Monday.
And I'll be right back.
Yes.
Yep, exactly.
So happy to have you with me this afternoon. I just wanted to point this out as, and then we're going to move on to the mess that is Pete Hegseth. The last pope born outside of Europe before Pope Francis, you know how long ago this was?
500 years, I'm just guessing.
It's more than that. It was Syrian-born Pope Gregory III, who died in 741.
Yes.
Holy cow. Now, Pope Francis was about as European as a native-born Argentinian could be. His people were from Italy. They left during the rise of fascism. So one of the reasons migrants were so important to Francis is his family were migrants. They fled Italy during the rise of fascism. But let's turn the page now and talk about Pete Hegseth. I mean, the hits just keep on coming when it comes to Mr. Hegseth just in the last 2 days. So you got Signalgate 1.
Yep.
Signalgate 2, worse than Signalgate 1, because Signalgate 2 was, he sent it to the literal timing of the air raids on the Houthis in Yemen. Like, when are we sending our pilots into harm's way? He was sending messages and sharing that information with his wife, who's a Fox contributor. She has no business knowing, doesn't have any security clearance. His lawyer, who magically got a job at the DOD. Like, isn't that weird? That's a whole other question that needs to get answered. But he didn't have security clearances for that, nor did his brother. And it was on a personal phone.
Right.
And it's being reported that these folks in the national security apparatus at this level basically have three terminals, three computers on their desk with different security levels. And the two with the highest security levels are used for different things. He literally would have had to have taken pictures of the war plans.
Yes.
Or basically like dictated them directly into his phone. The only possible reason for doing that, of course, is I'm bragging. This was the first big military action under Secretary Hegseth, which just sounds weird coming out of my mouth.
Well, who knew he would look at things as a reporter would versus somebody who's actually running the department?
I'm not even going to call him a reporter, a hack commentator on Fox News.
I was trying to be kind. You know, but the other thing is I think he installed SignalGate in one of his computers because they don't allow cell phones there. He's like, oh, that's a really inconvenient thing.
I'll just put it on the lap.
I'll just go around that because there's probably no rational reason why you can't have it on here.
So
except to brag,
Iran, China, Russia all can hack the Signal app. This is reporting today by the Washington Post. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth directed the installation of Signal, a commercially available messaging app, on a desktop computer in his Pentagon office.
Which everybody does, right? Yep.
Zero people do. I did not have any top secret information. I did not have any messaging apps on my Milwaukee County desktop computer. And staffers in the weeks leading up to the air raids on the Houthis told him, don't use Signal. Not don't use messaging apps. No, don't use specifically Signal. Did so anyways. And here's what this tells you all you need to know about Pete Hegseth. This bit of reporting from CBS News today. Hegseth orders makeup studio installed at the Pentagon. The price tag for the project was several thousand dollars, according to two sources, at a time when apparently Doge is looking for, you know, wasteful spending. That's insane. But a Defense Department spokesman pointed out that Pete's been doing his own makeup for TV interviews. So it's nothing to see here. What? They also said, this is hilarious, quote, for this upgrade, we were deliberately conservative and opted for several less expensive on-hand material solutions.
Instead of going, maybe we should
don't do this, buy a ring light like everybody else does and a standing mirror and slap on the old pancake that way, Pete. I mean,
and frankly, if you're doing your job right, you're not on TV that much. Because you're doing what you're supposed to do. Right. Yeah.
And I don't want to play it because it's a minute and 50 seconds. And for 3 days, I've had Cal on the board get the Hegseth from the Rose Garden meltdown clip. And then I don't play it and use it. And I'm not going to torture everybody. But if you haven't listened to it, it's concerning. It sounds like an unhinged man.
Yeah. And obviously the pressure is too much. And, you know, but you look at it and go, this is about something other than competence and something other than national security, right? Whatever the reason is, he's sitting in that seat right now has nothing to do with the safety of our country or our ability to, if we need to, react to some thing around the world, you know? And so far, knock on wood, it's only been, close to 100 days, but still, it's very concerning. It should be to everybody else.
And this is, if there was a spot where I thought one of the appointees would start, where the apparatus, the department that appointee is leading was going to crack and it was going to result in someone losing a post, my bet was on DHHS, RFK, or Pete Hegseth in the Defense Department, because people that have spent their entire lives serving our country and abiding their oath to protect this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic, and to honor and uphold our Constitution, aren't going to take kindly to this kind of dip guanolry happening at the highest levels of the DOD. And, you know, these people that recently got fired and accused of leaking, which they are absolutely denying, one going on, Tucker Carlson, saying, listen, my phone wasn't even searched. Here's the thing. They were all Pete Hegseth loyalists.
Yes.
And it's the trickle-down theory of Donald Trump, right? Which is, oh, yes, you become entirely disposable when the heat gets turned up too high on me. So anybody that aligns yourselves with any of these people, your head's on the chopping block. They're not going to allow themselves to go down. They need a patsy. Wow. They'll blame you.
Right. And he's even too incompetent for MAGAs, which is saying a lot, right?
Right. When the fellow MAGAs are like, oh, man, this guy's an idiot. That you know it's for real.
Right. When somehow you're ranked lower than Howard Lutnick, then, you know, you've got
or
Peter Navarro, then you've got some serious issues that are happening.
I know we've got both Peter Navarro, the guy that is Mr. Tariff alongside the Donald Trump, and we've got Peter Hegseth. I'm just going to say this, the Peter principle.
Yes.
Maybe these two guys get their photos next to that entry on Wikipedia as exemplars of the Peter principle in action. And this,
well, I like the fact that they're modeling meritocracy, right? that somehow that we're putting the best and brightest, the people who deserve to be in these positions, and this is the model that they're expecting the rest of the country to follow instead of looking for diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Yeah, DEI for them is disinformers, incompetence, and I forget I had another one for the E. But this is what we got. And the New York Times today also, under Hegseth, this is the headline, under Hegseth, chaos prevails at the Pentagon. Right. The defense secretary's inner circle is in disarray and distrust is growing among civil servants and senior military officials. You don't think. Here's the over-under to everybody. How long before Pete's gone, or does Trump double down?
He already doubled down, so I think, you know,
but
probably
this
another...
is Trump, though, right? It's like, tomato, one day I'm with him, the next day he's gone.
They're probably looking for a replacement, but I don't know how you backtrack and then get somebody competent after you've said that you're not looking for competence, you're looking for a TV face. You know, but here's the thing that I look at is if there's ever an area that doesn't want drama in the day to day, it's the Department of Defense.
Yeah.
And you've got Pete Hegseth. He brings drama on a regular basis.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the other areas can absorb that, but the military doesn't put up with that crap. It's like, no, we're not doing that. So I think that's the challenge. And how long that drama can go on and not impact other, you know, other areas of our country is going to be really interesting to see.
Well, and there's no question that those in the know that it is negatively impacting our military readiness, you know, our security in ways that we can't see that isn't available to the public. This is what I keep saying to people when they're, oh, well, okay, you sent these texts, but the strikes were successful. I'm like, it's not about the individual messages. It's about the fact that this guy doesn't observe the most basic, you know, you work in the national security apparatus. Here's your first day of class, 101. Can't follow the most easily followable basic instructions, which means, of course, he can't do any of the actual hard stuff if he can't get that right. And if you're willing to gamble American lives and put soldiers in harm's way unnecessarily, you can't be trusted to do anything else.
Right. And I think it's obvious he doesn't know what his job is.
No. And even if he did, does not have the internal fortitude, truth-telling, leadership abilities to do the job, even if he did know what it is, which he doesn't.
Leadership.
Correct. Yep. Cindy from Appleton, say hello to Tom P. What would you like to share this afternoon?
Hi, Tom. Well, DEI, disgustingly exhausting incompetence.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, that's a good one. Yep.
And are any of his, you made a comment about Pete Hegseth not being very competent. Well, are any of his cabinet picks competent? I don't think there's a one of them that I can figure out. So just wanted to throw that in there.
What was it again, Cindy? Disgustingly
Exhausting incompetence.
Exhausting. I'm taking a note.
Disgustingly exhausting incompetence. I like that.
I love it. Thanks so much, Cindy. You want to get in on this conversation, this discussion, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And here's what roils me in a different way, is that the only seated elected Republican to say this guy's got to go is Don Bacon, who is a retired Air Force general, guy from Nebraska, and this guy's a menace. There's one Republican sitting in Congress that can say this is unacceptable. Can you imagine if this was President Obama, President Harris, President Biden? They'd be losing their damn fool minds.
The bar is low right now.
Continuing on the national security discussion, we're going to discuss the non-negotiation that Donald Trump is trying to muster between Ukraine and Russia. Sad, sad, very sad. We discuss when we come back right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Does it seem that with every breath you take, the hellfire of Pete Hegseth in the Department of Defense seems to get worse? It sure does for me. And true to form, we've got a headline that is just breaking from the Wall Street Journal. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got Tom Paulswitz in the guest co-host chair with me. Here is a headline just moments ago from the Wall Street Journal. Wow. A rattled Pete Hegseth has chastised top military officers and threatened them with polygraph tests as he seeks to quiet a storm at the Pentagon. I'll hook you up to an effing polygraph, Hegseth shouted at Admiral Christopher Grady, the then acting chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He also threatened Lieutenant General Doug Sims, the Joint Staff Director, with a polygraph. Here's what it says in all leadership books. Like, you call up Adam Grant, you're like, hey, I just screwed up and I'm being embarrassed publicly in the news for a pretty significant lapse in judgment. What should I do?
Right.
And Adam Grant says, you know what you should do? You should blame everybody else and the media that reported on your mistake. And then you should scream at some of your top generals. I'm sure that'll go. Is that what it says in those leadership manuals, Tom?
Oh, absolutely, right? Every time I have a client who has an issue, the first thing I say is, well, did you yell at somebody?
Did you
assign blame? Or so to get it off your chest and get it onto somebody else. It's disturbing. But the other is it just shows his total lack of confidence in his abilities.
Correct.
And it's coming out in these really weird ways. And this is just the stuff we see, right? This is the tip of the iceberg when it comes to what's probably happening, because we're only getting snippets.
Yes.
We're only getting small pieces of what's really going on. And I don't know how long the Pentagon can take this.
Here's more, and I want everybody, Hillary Clinton's email server. I'm going to say that, and I'm going to read you this next part of the Wall Street Journal article. Right. Defense Secretary Hegseth had an internet connection that was unsecured and bypassed the Pentagon's security protocols set up in his office to use the Signal messaging app on a personal computer known as a dirty internet line by the IT industry. It connects directly to the public internet where the user's information and the website's access do not have the same security filters or protocols that the Pentagon's secured connections maintain. Are you blankety blanking kidding me?
Yeah, no. I mean, this is either he is too stupid to understand security protocols, or He's too arrogant to believe that they apply to him.
Or to care. I mean,
right.
Hillary Clinton's email server. I'm going to read you. Remember that? And how she's unfit. Okay. Again, folks, here, that was emails.
Right.
Here we go. Pete Hegseth had an internet connection that was known by the IT industry as a dirty internet line because it connects directly to the public internet. He had a secret server, basically.
Yes. In his office.
In his office, on his Department of Defense desk.
Which he shared actual intel.
Yes, put actual intel. We know this happened.
As things were happening.
Phil from Minneapolis, say hello to Tom. What would you like to say this afternoon?
I have two words for people to remember. Reality winner. One page of classified information that did not reveal names, sources, or methods. She served 5 years. She was never released from custody. From the minute she started telling people, they came to her door, she started telling them what she did. She was never out of custody for 5 years for one page of not secret information, not top secret information, classified information that she felt was wrong. She served 5 years. What are these people going to be charged with?
Damn good question, Phil.
A great question. Yep.
Jack from Merrimack, you're up next. Say hello to Tom. What would you like to say this afternoon?
Oh, yeah. Well, Hegseth is one of my favorite characters to just absolutely despise. Not only is he incompetent and probably pretty stupid, certainly too stupid to lead the Defense Department, but there's another whole thing, too. I have a very good friend with whom I have climbed mountains, and she's a pilot, and she was on security patrol for Trump when he was in his first term in office. Now, she had an affair while in the military, and she was drummed out of the military for that affair. Of course, the guy with whom she had the affair wasn't, but let's not even go there. Hegseth is a beast. Talk about hypocrisy. This guy's had how many affairs while he was married?
Jack, you're breaking up a little bit. But the guy's, I think he's on his third wife.
But isn't that a requirement to be part of the cabinet to begin with?
Yeah, multiple marriages and affairs.
Yes.
This is character and fitness reviews require major lapses in judgment because, we assume that past performance will be an indicator of future returns. And indeed, in spades from Pete Hegseth. Sometimes hiring because someone looks the part doesn't mean they can actually do the job. I'm looking
Who
at
knew?
You, Pete. Who knew?
Who knew?
All of us. All of us knew. All right.
Yes.
We're going to take care of some news, weather, and sports. Tom and I will be back after the top of the hour. And then I promise, we will talk about the non-negotiating, non-deal, just give everything, Russia everything it wants, and then there'll be peace. Donald Trump's approach to, wartime negotiating.
The art of the deal.
The art of the non-deal. We'll be back with me, Maggie Dawn, and Tom Paulswitz right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.